All right, there's another person calling, so I'm having a hard time.
Hang on a second. I'm afraid we've...
You can't hear it over the radio.
Sorry about that, caller. We did turn down the mic, and Dan, my apologies. Actually, the caller has a question for you, but before you do, caller, I just wanted to say that what Dan was saying is he was responding to my question about health concerns at the Armory. And go ahead, caller. Why don't you ask your question, and then Dan can answer it.
Now, are you guys flooded out down there or what? Because when I drive by, it looks like you guys are camping in the middle of a lake.
No. Now, see, this is not the situation at all. We get a couple mud puddles here and there, and they soak right down. And as soon as it stops raining, the water was gone. When we had all that water down there, that huge storm, of course, there was a fairly big mud puddle down towards the bottom of the camp. But the very next day, it was gone. The water was gone. It soaked down, and everything was fine. And now we have a few mud puddles here and there. They just took the porta potties out because there was water underneath the porta potties from the rain. Because it's a low spot, so the rain came in and just kind of went under the porta potties. Now they picked up the porta potties. The water's under there, and we're draining the water right now. Matter of fact, that's what happened just before I came here. I was digging a trench so the water could run down into a hole, and then we were going to pump out the hole. We're not in a lake. We're fine down there. We're just fine.
Don't you think if you stay there all winter, it's just going to keep getting more and more wet as the ground soaks up or doesn't soak up the water?
Well, that's what I thought, but it's not that way at all. The water
I mean, it's the first storm of the winter, but I mean, there's going to be storms for the next few months.
Well, I'll tell you the truth. If they could weather that storm that we just had, they could weather anything. There's no question about it. There was at least maybe 100 campers out there right in the middle of that storm.
Got wet or sick or anything like that?
A couple of people did get wet that slept up against the side of their tent. And you know, there was one or two that had rips in them before, so the water did come in on them. But mostly, everybody was just fine when we got up the next morning. Everybody was in good spirits and everything.
See, yeah. I think the reason people are trying to shut that thing down is because if somebody gets really sick and catches pneumonia and dies, then it's going to look bad on the city.
Yeah, that's what it's...
And it's going to look bad on that Palmer So guy. And I mean, it's like everybody's name's going to be dragged down in the mud with the person that winds up dying from overexposure to water or bacteria or whatever.
Okay, I wanted to bring this to your the whole thing about this health hazard thing, it was brought, on TV, it showed Paul Morceau grabbing the porta potty door, slamming it open with a smile on his face, and the camera came in and showed all this water on the bottom of the porta potty. And I was standing right next, close by when I heard all this, and then I said, oh man, I can't believe this. They're trying to make it out like the toilets are overflowing. But the trouble is the porta potties are totally self-contained. They do not leak unless it completely, people go into the bathroom, if it was to come clear up to the top. But it wasn't that way. It has never been that way. And so what this was it was the disabled porta potty. That one has to be lower so that the wheelchairs can get into the disabled porta potty. They have to be at ground level. So, naturally, because it rained, and plus there was a low spot there, the rain actually came into the porta potty on the floor only. So, and then...
I was lying to the media, in other words, in order to get it closed. I mean, I wish I could agree with you. This is Rick, right?
Yeah.
I wish I could agree with you that they actually have... it's not really a humanitarian concern. I think you're suggesting that they think they'd look bad if somebody died out there, and they'd be legally liable.
Well, that's my theory. I mean, I don't know if whether I'm right or wrong, but
I'm sure
I think
that
it's like if people are getting sick out there, then it's just going to look bad on the whole thing.
I think that's true. Although there have been, I don't know that there have been any specific cases of sickness. I mean, obviously people are going to get ill in the winter, and that's true. But
do you think they're better off there than somewhere else?
Well, that's what I've been thinking, because if you're in a community where there are people, where there's hot and cold running water nearby, where there's medical workers like a couple buildings away, if there's a real crisis, where they can actually get an ambulance out to you if there's a real problem, I would say you're better off than if you're camping under a bridge somewhere and trying to hide from the cops, yeah.
Hmm.
I mean, that's my view. What do you think, Dan?
Well,
just
try to
take a break.
Did you get sleep
last night?
Yeah, I got sleep, but I've been really stressed because I'm trying to do 100 things at once, trying to keep things together.
And anticipate the arrival of the police as well.
Yeah, that's one of the things that we are really doing is getting ready to get arrested, there's quite a group of us that are going to get arrested.
You're going to go down with the ship then?
So to speak.
Well?
Hopefully we'll bob to the surface.
The reason that I'm going to go down with the ship is because I want to know in my conscience See, I'm a homeless person, but I'm not thinking about myself about staying there. I'm thinking about these other people. And the reason I want to go down is I want to make sure that I don't have on my conscience that someone died because I didn't try hard enough to save that shelter and not throw those people out of the street. And some of them are going to end with a disastrous end. I know that in my heart. Someone is going to die. Not just one person.
What if somebody died there? I mean, would it be the same thing?
The chances are very slim compared to what's going to happen here when they turn them all out. These people are going to end up, some of them are going to end up with a very bad end. And I don't want that on my conscience. I'll go to jail, no problem. And I hope that the city council, each individual from the city council and the committee for Citizens Committee for the Homeless, I hope that when they go to bed at night, that they can say that they didn't have anything to do with someone dying because they were turned out of that River Street shelter, and they will never be able to do that if it stays at this situation. They don't find this alternative site. They don't find some place for people to go to sleep at night or strike down that sleeping bag where they can sleep somewhere where it's relatively safe. Someone is going to die. And I am not going to have that on my conscience. And all these city councilmen and the Citizens Committee for the Homeless, they will not be able to go to bed. And I hope that every night for the rest of their life, that is going to be on their mind. When they go to bed at night and they turn that light out and they rest in a real comfortable bed.
Yeah. Rick, do you have any more questions?
No, that was it.
Thank you very much.
All right.
Bye-bye.
So, I don't think... I doubt Paul Lee is going to have too much trouble sleeping tonight, and Paul Marceau may be worried about getting rid of the campers, but I don't know if he's having trouble sleeping. I can't remember. Maybe they are. No, I'd hope they were. Whoops.
Hi there, you're on Two Radio Santa Cruz.
Hi there, could I join this discussion?
Well, hi, it sounds like the long-absent Linda LeMaster.
Well, I've been sick, not absent.
Oh, good. So
So my rainproof hiding spots are secret.
You are yourself homeless these days, right?
Yes, and it sucks, in my opinion. I'm really moved by people like your guests on the show today that are willing to put their neck on the line for other people. It really matters sometimes. But I did want to respond to a couple things I was hearing. One is, I would guess that many of the people who are the policymakers, like city council members, their conscience isn't clean or clear enough that they can see the obvious connection, obvious to you or me, between people who might die because they're exposed and the policies that they've taken over the years. One reason being, they change faces every few years. The new mayor is an exception.
Some of them change faces every few days.
I meant that actually, you know, every 2 years they have an election, and many new people come on the council who don't know, for example, the history of the field that the Citizens Committee finally this year began to let be used for what the city and the Citizens Committee have each paid for it for. This is the first year it's been used legitimately. And it's being short-lived because of these political circumstances, not to mention the weather. What I want to know, though, is...
Actually, it was used last year, too, for
legally?
An opener. Legally
last year?
There was a permit issued in 1994. In fact, there's some claim that there was no permit really issued in 1995, and I've heard it bruised back and forth. I've never quite got to the bottom of it, but Scott Kennedy and Mike Rodkin, I think, have both said, or at least Kennedy has said, that... at least for this period of time we're in now, there has been no permit for the open-air shelter. You know, whether that means...
For this year?
No, for this few weeks.
Right.
But anyway, that's not really here. It has been open, has been operational, has been providing places for people to sleep, and...
For years,
and particularly this year, it's been in much greater numbers and with much less concern about police harassment.
Yeah, but I like to bring some of that old history in, or at least one piece of it, you know. It wouldn't be used by a lot of people who are forming up their own tribes and communities now and beginning to look out for each other if it hadn't been used by people like Linda Edwards, who were in there nursing spider bite victims when it was first bought for homeless people and then abandoned and forbidden. You know, and so those are the kind of risks that lead to the situation that now houses a couple hundred of our city's homeless people, maybe 10% of the homeless people around here.
Why don't you talk a little about what Linda Edwards did? I'm going to turn over the tape while you do.
If you'd like, I'll read this proclamation from the mayor of the city of Santa Cruz. And then you can elaborate by filling in the specifics. It's take a minute, though. This was just issued on behalf of Linda Edwards Day, which was a couple days ago, the 13th. It says, whereas Linda Edwards exemplified courage and dignity as a homeless person who spoke out on behalf of transient, homeless, and roofless people in Santa Cruz and other cities. And whereas Linda Edwards often represented Santa Cruz as a homeless woman in the Housing Now! March on Washington, with Hungry Women United in Sacramento, with Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom in Berkeley, and in many places with higher numbers of homeless people. And whereas Linda Edwards devoted her energy to the empowerment of homeless people within society, and also to the empowerment of homeless women among the homeless populations, through activities ranging from curbside education to courtroom defense to civil resistance to individual caregiving activities. And whereas much of Linda Edwards' devotion and street activism was focused on the need for quality food among homeless people, which she demonstrated by participating in the town clock soup serving, helping to found the free meal program, and advocating for food not bombs at the County Health and Safety Department. And whereas Linda Edwards' lasting contributions to the betterment of daily life among homeless people includes helping to establish an open-air campground, founding an annual homeless women's slumber party, and helping found the Santa Cruz Union for the Homeless, Bag Ladies Revolt, and other local groups. And whereas even after learning that her death would be soon and painful, Linda Edwards continued in her struggle to validate and improve the lives of homeless people. Therefore, I, Mike Rodkin, Mayor of the City of Santa Cruz, do hereby proclaim Wednesday, December 13th, 1995, as Linda Edwards Day in the City of Santa Cruz.
Wow. Well, actually, I read that proclamation myself about a week and a half ago.
You did?
On air, yeah.
It's not a surprise.
I noticed what is a surprise to me is that there's no mention throughout the proclamation made of why December 13th was the day that the proclamation was chosen for, which is that maybe you could tell people about that.
Yeah, I was thinking you could help add the specifics and details that make those whereases have any meaning.
Uh-huh.
Well, December 13th, I think, was the first time people here were arrested for giving away free food, and it happened at City Hall, and Linda Edwards was the first to be arrested.
That's right.
And it made some infamy because the AP had a nice photo of one of the other arrestees.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
Also the day I met Keith McHenry, so...
Keith McHenry is the head of Food Not, or one of the main advocates of Food Not Bombs in San Francisco, who's been arrested, I don't know, 100 or more times for serving free food.
And I think he's a leader in this whole country or this whole continent for the principles that Food Not Bombs stands for, too. That's important. Mm-hmm. He's a cook.
I actually interviewed him this morning. We may be playing one of his interviews later in the show, particularly if we have extra time. My show's been cut back to 2 hours, so I have to hustle right along.
Mm-hmm.
So you're homeless right now, huh?
Yeah. But what I wanted to pass on to people that have to live in the field is, you know, I haven't been well since becoming homeless right after or on Thanksgiving, but if I had my health and I could join in these activities, I would urge people to consider the Locust Street Garage or something that has walls and a roof and public bathrooms as one of the alternative sites. It's my personal view that there need to be a place, sort of a white flag zone in every neighborhood. And almost all the public parks of any size here have bathrooms already. They have permanent bathrooms, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So without
getting... use them after dark, that's all.
All right. It's illegal to go in the camp, in the parks, after dark. And that law was passed specifically to discourage homeless people. But no amount of laws is going to discourage homeless people while the same people passing those laws are creating homelessness. Policymakers from Washington on down to Santa Cruz City Council and the county, I certainly don't mean to overlook the county's policy idiocy, are creating more and more homeless people.
I mean, what policies are those?
Well, for example, when what they're calling welfare reform is really a butchering program. They're going to give governors the money that used to go to homeless people, promising right off the top a 20% cut. Now, if they do nothing different except that 20% cut, that's 1,000 more families that right now need some help but are housed. Some of them are housed, most of them, who are going to become homeless. Now, we're going to need 4 armories, as if the way things will run now is okay. If we continue running things as a city the way we are now, we're going to need 4 more armories just to put those people into this little shuttle system, which I don't think is fair or adequate. I don't support things that disempower people, homeless or not.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes I don't go as far as Linda Edwards would have when she lived and push for the right to be roofless. You know, I think that that can be used by policymakers as an excuse not to make any affordable or low-income housing. So I feel like I got to push for both.
Mm-hmm. Well, actually, regarding affordable housing, did you follow the case on Monday with, actually Tuesday, with Robert Lee?
I haven't heard. Have you?
No, I haven't. I think Robert will call in, although I haven't heard from him.
Well, I'll try to call it lawyer while you're on the air and call back if I get any news, but...
Yeah, this is the case for our listeners' reminder that where the county has been violating the law and not building the number of low-income houses that it has to under state law when it allows the big rich boys to do their developments, and they were taken to court by 3 people, including a Hoff member, Robert Patton Lee, who's a veteran and also Native American activist who's done a lot of different things. And he went to court on Monday on that, and then they postponed it till Tuesday, so I was hoping to get a report from him.
Well, you know, what's interesting about that county lawsuit, they're being sued because not only have they not provided a fair proportion of housing for poorer people here, they've gone out of their way to avoid it. But I find this interesting, Santa Cruz has been dinged by the state when they turned in their general plan and its housing element that says what they hope to accomplish in the next 5 or 10 years. And yet most counties don't even bother to turn in the required state forms. And nobody's coming down on them. They just ignore it. You know, so they're breaking the law too. But I see this as an opportunity to educate people. The Board of Supervisors is obviously right-wing. We're not going to accomplish much that helps poor and indigent people in the county government unless we come in with a done deal and just insist that they establish it. But what I'm pushing for and why I'm calling you on the air is I think that's what the people that are dealing with the city right now need to do too, is set up, you know, have a contingent of people that just start camping in some better spots. You know, respond to the fake politics like shit floating through the puddles or something by taking over the second floor of these empty parking lots that don't do anything at night, you know? And just be there in enough numbers that it will be noticed if the police is the solution the city chooses to deal with it.
Well, that could be a good agenda for Camp Quest. Maybe I'll bring that up at the meeting at 2 o'clock at Denny's, which, of course, you and anyone else who's interested in these issues are invited to. You should be prepared to put in for a cup of coffee, but otherwise, you know, if we get enough people and there's not enough money, we'll go somewhere else. That's Denny's today at 2 o'clock, Huff Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom Meets. We issued a flyer recently, which you unfortunately were not around to proofread, Linda. Linda, you've proofread many of my flyers. And
I'm good at that when my brain works.
Oh, yeah, you're a very good proofreader.
It's a little waterlogged right now, though.
We're talking about another Camp Quest Sally downtown called Camp Quest Counselors. I'll read you a little bit of the agenda. Unless you want to talk about something else, I don't want to.
I have a couple announcements, but that sounds important too.
Oh, okay. Well, I can do this off the air, or maybe I'll do it on the air. You can see what you think.
Okay.
This is Camp Quest Santa Cruz. The saga continues, announcing Camp Quest Counselors. Streetwise Santas downtown promise new hope for morally disadvantaged politicians and poverty pimps. With the timely closing of the Coral Street open-air shelter just days before Christmas, community-minded campers with special listening skills will be setting up cardboard offices downtown on the sidewalk to minister to the needs of confused city council members, media-happy bureaucrats, and played-out poverty pimps, particularly those suffering acutely from post-November NIMBYism. The homeless counselors will be sharing their wisdom and experience using a sliding scale to accommodate the friendly shoppers and merry merchants of Pacific Avenue during the dwindling daylight hours of the holiday season. Eager to help shoppers and merchants as well, spiritually sensitive street folk will be getting acquainted with the uncertain shoppers and troubled merchants of Pacific Avenue during the hours. Couples, campers with pets, those with late jobs, vets with problems staying indoors, and the many for whom the Armory winter shelter has no room will be a joyous part of Pacific Avenue this season, giving our downtown a truly Dickensian look. Stay sharp, don't step on that snowy-eyed spirit changer. To help City Council and the Citizens Committee for the Homeless deal with its debilitating Broken Promises addiction, sympathetic community members have volunteered to conduct open-air street-side seminars. Morally handicapped bureaucrats will be offered special sessions, including why warm, secured tents are healthier than sleeping under bridges, why 200 to 300 campers and 500 more homeless people in Santa Cruz can't fit into 150 armory spaces and 70 church floor spots. Letting seasoned campers manage their own campground does produce less jobs for bureaucrats, but it's cheaper and does encourage self-sufficiency. Dumping people downtown during the Christmas season, a no-no, particularly after you've agreed to a January 1st deadline. Stepping on the poor in the rain, a hazardous procedure even for skilled poverty pips. Understanding English, why we'll renegotiate if it rains, is not the same as when it rains, we're evicting you. Forcing campers to kill or abandon their dogs, a bad way to foster goodwill during the holidays. Rainy weather, a reason to pull together and renegotiate, not to evict. Threatening to throw campers who organize and distribute literature out of the church shelter program, a questionable tactic. And there are many, many more, of course, seminars that will be held for the benefit of those politicians and bureaucrats who are in dire need of that kind of guidance. And that's what we're going to be discussing, as well as, I guess, plans such as you proposed of going to the second floor of parking garages and getting in from the rain and the cold there. I mean, it seems to be a sensible solution. That one I hadn't even thought of. I guess you got that one from Arnie Levine.
Well, no, I didn't. He doesn't always follow my ideas, so I don't always follow his.
I see.
No, I got that one because the IWW, when they sponsored a sleep out, more than a year ago?
In front of the bookshop Santa Cruz.
And then-mayor, or just barely ex-mayor, Scott Kennedy joined us as a supportive observer.
I thought he was more of a critical observer.
He may have been critical, but he said his intent was to be supportive.
Oh, yeah.
Indeed, there were no police arrests until he was gone the next night, so maybe he was supportive. But my point is, at that time there was some discussion about there's no bathrooms after the stores closed downtown for anyone, and it led to creating nighttime access at the Locust Street Garage. If some homeless person wanted to have the job of keeping it from being trashed, because there are, you know, pretty frustrated people that'll blow them up. It happens a lot in Capitola. If someone wanted to take responsibility for attendant care, then we could have access to bathrooms at night. And so it seemed logical to me that if the bathroom's going to be open at night, why shouldn't a floor of the building be open at night?
Well, the bathrooms aren't open at night.
Yeah, but only for lack of a custodial person. It's been passed by the City Council that if we want to find someone to take care of that, we're not stealing any city jobs, it doesn't pay, or it doesn't pay more than a few dimes, that by having that person take that responsibility, and it could be an alternating set of people once a week or something, whatever we want to set up, that we could have nighttime bathroom access downtown. Now, it wouldn't take any more work to open the whole floor of the parking garage, and they're not used at night. They're not used at night. Even during the holiday season, you know, everything rolls up at 9 p.m. except the movies.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it's a great idea, but frankly, I don't think it's simply because there are no volunteers. It's obvious to me the city has decided it doesn't want to do that.
No, the city has decided it was okay to do. I was there for another reason the night they approved it. It's probably just that you got to deal with the Parks and Rec head, and people haven't dealt with him lately.
They're a part of the city. But I mean, I agree with you. Well, I don't know. I mean, I think that's a great idea. I think people should pursue it. But I frankly don't think it's, I think it has to do with the fact they've decided they don't want that to happen. But maybe they do. Maybe it just hasn't happened.
Well, I'm right and be prepared for you to be right.
Well, let's hope you look into it and find out what's going on. Let us know on Monday. I'd love to hear if you can get something rolling. Maybe you can give a call.
I did my part. I got the city to open the bathrooms at night if we have a caretaker.
Mm-hmm.
I can't set my life up to be up at night.
Okay, so you're responsible for that?
Yeah, it was our discussion down there during the sleepout. We're all responsible. You helped set that stage for that dialogue.
Uh-huh.
I just happened to luck out and be there when they formalized it at a city council meeting.
Uh-huh.
By accident. And so at first they were getting people through the homeless day center, uh-huh, through Karen's program, to take care of it, but sometimes they get on a power trip, just like other monitors and other homeless programs, because the people that run these programs aren't trained.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe Karen should be the person to contact, and maybe we can suggest
I think any volunteer should just take advantage of that. That you can't have too many people wanting to do it.
So when you, well, maybe Dan will volunteer to do the bathrooms. Maybe I will volunteer to be the...
Well, I'm going to still carry my little rolled-up piece of TP in my pocket in case nobody gets to it.
I see. Well, that's what they're going to need out at the campground after they pull out that last porta potty. Sounds like people better bring their picks and shovels out there. By the way, there is a call for you, Linda, anybody else on the air is interested for picks. The folks out at the campground, I think, maybe they're going to use them for self-defense when the police come in, but my dad probably just want to dig a hole so that natural functions can, should we say, be more completely dealt with.
Yeah. As if it weren't hard enough to be homeless, now we're going to have to carry a shovel or trowel all over town while we're being criminals.
Maybe time for a shit-in, I think. That's what they did with Saul Alinsky now in the Chicago airport in the late 60s. That's how they opened up the airport, desegregated the airports there.
Oh, but that's how come we can go to the bathroom without a quarter now?
No, something like that. I don't know whether it's a quarter or whether it's because if you're black, you couldn't go to the bathroom at that time. I'm not quite sure which, but in any case, it was the threat of a shit-in which had that effect. Yeah, you know, it's a dirty job, but someone has to do it. That's the way I look at it.
Can I make a couple announcements?
Sure, go ahead.
Okay, here's one. There's going to be a National Day of Mourning and Action, a countywide vigil. And in Santa Cruz, it's going to be at the town clock on Saturday, December 30th, from 5 o'clock to 6:30 p.m. That's the town clock. Join pro-choice advocates nationwide on the anniversary of the Brookline Massacre. Commemorate the lives and work of slain clinic workers, condemn clinic violence in the language that promotes it, call on government at all levels to protect health care providers, and bring a candle. That's December 30th. And then this is much more immediate, like now today. Call today and tell President Clinton, don't abandon America's children. Ask him, do not sign any welfare or Medicaid reform, so-called reform, bill that makes more children poor, sick, hungry, or at risk of neglect or abuse. And if you want to be more specific, tell him not to support block grants. So far, he's trying to resist, but he's outnumbered. This is the White House comment line phone number. Area code 202-456-1111. That's 202-456-1111. You know, I used to be saying not, what, 2 months ago, if this welfare reform joke passes, my son and I will be homeless, but here we already are. So, call President Clinton and save some other children from this unnecessary abuse of humanity.
And how can people reach housing now if they want, Linda?
Well, I have a phone number, but very seldom is anyone at it. But the permanent number is 426-7701 if you catch anyone in. To leave me a message and I'll get back to you, try 457-9754, box 182.
Repeat that.
It's 457-9754, box 182. Now, I'll be returning more calls after the first. This homeless lifestyle requires pocket change all the time. So I'm not quite keeping up with everyone. I apologize to Morgan and others that I haven't been able to call back people as fast as I should, but I will catch up. And there was one other thing. Something about the campgrounds. I'm concerned. I guess I just really think that the pressure that's put on the city should also be put on the county.
Mm-hmm.
Letters should go to the people at the county. The Board of Supervisors are not going to be helpful, but they do have some responsibility, and they're wasting money now on social workers that they could be putting into housing, or at least the porta potty.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you can, swim your way over to Denny's at 2, and you can join our Huff meeting if you'd like.
I'm going to give it a try. I probably can't.
And anybody else, of course, is also invited. And I want to thank you for calling in, Linda.
Mm-hmm. Good luck.
All right.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, that was Lighthouse Linda LeMaster, long-time stalwart. She was on the second hunger strike, and I think she supported Jane Emery in the first one nearly a decade ago, the two hunger strikes that resulted in the establishment of the first cold and air shelter, the Cedar Street Shelter, and the acquisition of the property, which is now the subject of all that controversy, in which the open-air shelter stands, in which Citizens Committee for the Homeless, the new landlords, are going to lord it over those on the land by bouncing them off with the police, apparently, on Sunday or Monday. All for their own good, of course. Let's take a little break now, although the phone lines, no, the phone lines are ringing. It's no breaks here. Hang on.
Hi, you're on True Radio Factors.
Hi, it's Morgan.
Hi there, Morgan.
I just wanted to say something to Linda if she's listening, because I think she's probably listening since she was just talking to you.
Yes.
Just to call me?
Go ahead.
That's it. That's the message. Please call me.
Okay, well, you give out your number?
She has my number,
all
or
right.
You can give it to her. I don't want to give it on the air.
Okay, Morgan.
Thanks a lot.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
So it looks like we're becoming a call-in post office phone service here. To watch that, folks, get your own services. Well, Dan, you're back in the studio. Anything you want to talk about? I was going to put on a brief tape here to kind of while away the time for a moment while I kind of...